Gigi and I recently celebrated our first daughter's 30th birthday. Unbelievable to think it has been that long when, in my mind, it seems almost like yesterday. So many memories of that birth experience. It really was and remains something miraculous for me. The Apostles' Creed makes a bold statement about Jesus' birth, saying, "Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." As I mentioned a few weeks ago, the Creed was not forced upon the church centuries after Jesus, but rather it was the natural outworking of the Jesus story as the church worked to compress the already existing Jesus story into a memorable, distinct creedal statement. The earliest New Testament writings came from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the churches in the geographical area known as Galatia, Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children of God." Paul is giving written expression to a central aspect of the Jesus story in his letter to the church, written in the late 40s, say 15 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. As we noted last week, the Jesus story proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, that is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, three distinct persons in one, is a perfect community of mutual self-giving love. Jesus is co-eternal with God the Father, and Jesus is God. Now, all that can sound a bit mind-boggling, which is why we say the Trinity, while understandable, is at some level a huge mystery. But Paul now audaciously claims that this Jesus God, in fulfillment of the Trinity's plan to redeem a broken and rebellious world, this Jesus God has come to us with flesh on. The very one who had created the world is now born into the world he made. Are you hearing a song right now? Charles Wesley wrote it. We sing it in the season of Christmas. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. By the way, for those of you who need to be reminded, there are only 187 shopping days left until Christmas 2020. You better get moving. Okay, that was a distraction. Back to the message. Do you remember what John's Gospel says about the Jesus story? John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word," that's Jesus, "became flesh and dwelt among us." God the Son, the one through whom the cosmos was created, puts on human flesh, skin, and moves into our neighborhood. The language John chooses is really interesting. The word we translate dwelt can be translated tent, as in he pitched his tent. A Jewish person reading this would understand the use of tent as the tabernacle of the Old Testament. The tabernacle was the place of God's dwelling presence among the Hebrew people. John proclaims the Jesus story. In the person of Jesus, the fullness of God's being is found present in our midst. Now, John and Paul are not the only ones to claim this as the Jesus story. As we saw last week, Jesus himself claimed the right to forgive sins, to judge the world, claimed that he existed co-eternally with God the Father. He accepted it when people worshiped him. He claimed that he and God the Father are one. And in John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, he clearly implies to the people and Jewish religious leaders that he is, in fact, the real temple of God's presence on earth. He is both fully God and fully man. Jesus is not half God and half man. He is not a mixture of the two. Listen to the Apostle Paul describe the incarnation in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance a man, he humbled himself. Let me use the word mystery again as we think about the incarnation. How can we craft words to describe God coming in the flesh? Paul tries to do that here. Jesus, he says, is fully God, being in very nature God. That's what Paul says. Yet incarnation is at some level incompatible with some of God's attributes, like omnipresence, being in all places at any given moment. So Jesus empties himself or suspends some of these attributes for a time and becomes a human whose very life is defined by serving love and compassionate justice. As amazingly beautiful as this all is, there's an equally very sad part of this story of incarnation. So few recognized Jesus. John's Gospel, after recounting the beauty and wonder of God becoming human and moving into our neighborhood, writes, quote, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him," unquote. How utterly jaw-dropping, tragic this is. I was reading in Romans this past week and was struck by Paul's comment that the Holy Spirit frees us from a spirit of fear and slavery. Now that might sound archaic, but I think not. People get up every day driven, enslaved by fear, and enslaved to all sorts of other things. They can be enslaved to performance and appearance. I always have to do better or I'll get left behind. I have to win or I'll be a loser and I'll be out. I'll be nothing. I have to have the right look, the right body type. I have to present myself a certain way on my social media platforms. We can be like hamsters on the wheel, constantly running, spinning, yet getting nowhere. Psychologist Dr. Larry Crabb writes about our fundamental need for significance and security, to be safe, loved, and valued. These two core longings, significance and security, drive people onto a variety of hamster wheels when all along the answer to our deepest longings is found in the incarnation, God in the flesh. You and I are made in the image of God. God created us for a relationship with him, the King of creation. We are so highly valued by God that God would empty himself, be conceived and birthed in human flesh. He would pursue us with servant love and justice and lay his life down on a Roman cross as an atoning sacrifice for our sins so that we could be reunited with the one who is the true lover of my soul. When you look at Jesus, you find the lover of your very being, who values you to the moon and back, who would climb any mountain, kick down any wall, give up his life to bring you into the fullness of his life and love. This is our God. And this, my friends, gives me security and significance like nothing else can. I was having a dental checkup recently, laying in the dental chair waiting for the dentist to come in after the hygienist was finished. I was listening to a familiar song from the late 90s, "I Want to Know What Love Is" by Foreigner. Like a lot of songs, it tries to express this human core longing. Here are some of the lyrics. "In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. So many people in the time of Jesus's earthly life and today live life singing this song, craving for ultimate acceptance, to be valued and declared worthy, to be forgiven, to be loved in a way that births within me a way of life that leads to contentment, purpose, hope, joy, peace, and a vision for the life of flourishing. Friends, the incarnation is the answer to Foreigner's song and this very real human longing that all of us have. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 proclaims the reason for the incarnation, saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The incarnation is for you, for me, for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors and coworkers. The incarnation is for George Floyd, for Breonna Taylor, for Ahmaud Arbery, for Rayshard Brooks, for all people everywhere and at all times. But will we recognize him? Will we recognize not only who Jesus is, but who we are because of Jesus? Friends, the incarnation of Jesus is our game changer. It's the world's game changer. James Bryan Smith, in his wonderful book, The Good and Beautiful God, tells the story of a Russian Orthodox priest, John of Kronstadt. He was a priest in the 19th century at a time when alcohol abuse was rampant. None of the priests ventured out of their churches to help people. They waited for people to come to them. John, compelled by love, went out into the streets. People said that he would lift the hungover, foul-smelling people from the gutter, cradle them in his arms, and say to them, "This is beneath your dignity. You were meant to house the fullness of God." Smith writes, "I love that phrase, you were meant to house the fullness of God. That describes you and me. Knowing that this is our true identity fulfills our deepest longings and will transform our lives. But the question remains, will we, do you recognize Jesus? And do you recognize yourself because of Jesus or against the backdrop of Jesus? Have you not only received him, but more, do you continue to receive him every day, reveling in wonder at the incarnation, God in the flesh, and how it demonstrates your sacredness, your value, and God's deep ongoing commitment to find you and bring you into the one relationship where you will know what love is, for he has and will continue to show it to you." Friends, this is what the Creed proclaims. And so once again, I invite you to stand as you are able and join me as together we confess the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord Jesus, Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary to be the incarnate God in the flesh who has moved into our neighborhood, can we just say a collective wow to you? Your longing for us, your never give up love is stunning, amazing, marvelous, head spinning, and so much more. The hymn writer says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. So today and each and every day of this new week, let me recognize Jesus, celebrate his incarnation, embrace his actions that affirm my worth, confirm my acceptance, and fulfill my deepest longings for real, healthy, life-giving, life-lifting, life-flourishing love. In his blessed name, we pray. Amen.